And welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, October the 26th, 2024. It is Season 18, Episode 36. Yeah. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Yeah, welcome into the show, everybody. Let me do this for your listening pleasure and my editing facilities. There we go. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. That number is 272-9228. You can also check out ingamechat.net. For all the links to get in touch with us. And we have many ways for you to get in touch with us, of course. Find us on Twitter. You can find us at In-Game Chat on Facebook as well. You can also email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv and type in In-Game Chat. You'll be able to find us live while we broadcast. Favor for me there, RJ, if you could reach around to the fifth position, whatever that is there.
Yeah.
The third dial on the fifth position, turn it down a little bit. There you go. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Thank you. Right. And leave it right there. Cool. Right. Thanks. Appreciate it. It's so hard to judge. And that thing gets, that's just me thinking out loud during the middle of the show.
Yeah.
An idea of like, yeah, I'll fix that later. Anyway, twitch.tv, go there, type in the name, you can find us there, you can join us in the chat room live while we broadcast the show here. So, welcome in, everybody. Been a week, 2 weeks, actually, and I played a load of stuff. But let me ask you, what have you played there, RJ?
For the most part, I've been playing Grand Theft Auto Online, trying to build up some money in-game by way of... drugs and stealing stolen cars, basically.
It's so weird in context to come on this program, come on this radio station and be like, yeah, I've been playing this game. Yeah, and I was just, you know, advancing my ranks, selling drugs, stealing cars.
Yes, it's profitable. But because
the most, good work if you can get it.
Yeah. The most profitable ways involve building up a whole bunch of stolen goods and selling them, but you have to.
It still sounds weird.
Yeah. And getting people that you trust. But in a game like GTA Online, you better have an established group of people that you trust, because if you don't, playing with randoms, you're going to get double crossed, backstabbed, and all types of stuff.
True. So do they protect you? Does like your group protect you?
Yeah.
And they're not AI groups. They're like real people.
No, actual people. Yeah, if you work together, you can do a lot of earning in the game. If you work together. I mean, best example I can give the benefits of working together is, like, if I have a $2 million bundle that needs to be sold and someone blows it up, they probably get maybe $2,000, $2,500. But if you helped me, sell it, you'd have got a cut as an associate and got way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I guess for bragging rights and trolling, what people do anyway in that game, because that's what it's degraded to at this point. I mean, heck, the game is what, 10, 11 years old?
God, yeah.
So at this point, yeah, still see some new folks getting in there too, but for the most part, online is the Wild West, man.
Of course. Yeah, of course it is.
And I did see on my PlayStation that Balatro had updated. So I
yeah, there's some more. There's some more decks, I think, or more whatever.
The Jokers.
They integrated oh, what are they theming it after?
Oh, some DLC cosmetic stuff.
Yeah.
So nothing that really affects gameplay.
I guess not. I really haven't looked into that stuff since they've been doing those things.
Okay.
So I don't know if there were a couple. I think there were some like unique Jokers that were specific to like Dave the Diver and Witcher 3 and a couple of other games that they've sort of done some cross promotion with in that regard. Vampire Survivors is another one. And now they've got, I think, Cyberpunk 2077 has a crossover with it and some other games as well. And I think a Joker or two is done, you know, in themed with whatever deck it is that you're playing or whichever DLC it is that you're playing with or something.
I could think of some Jokers that could be replaced with some from Dave the Diver.
Like, see, that's what I figured, but I don't know. I haven't played it with any of these decks or any of this DLC stuff since they've added it. It's been a while since I played Balatro, you know.
Yeah,
kind of had a good run on it, and then I just sort of moved on.
Well, I've still got some decks that I wanted to clear out. I'm on the yellow deck right now, where it gives you 10 extra bucks at the very start, so that helps with a lot of stuff in the store. But going through that, you know how you don't play a game for a long time and you forget a whole bunch of stuff?
Very much so.
It happens all the time, but not in this case. I mean, I still know the hands and what to do and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you have to focus on it that much that it sticks in there, so I know what all the hands are. Still know what the full house is, still trying to get pairs, trying to get the right celestials and tarot cards to boost that up. Because I'm still thinking that's the one that I want to build up more than anything else, to level up on pairs, because that's the easiest one to get. Until you get to the sixth or seventh ante, and suddenly you can't get pairs to save your life.
Right, I know.
Which should be impossible.
It's one of those choices you have to make early, like, depending on how it's going for you. But at some point in your playthrough, as you're going through ante and ante, you know, as you're going through the rounds, you have to make a decision on what hand am I going to be going for here, you know, given what you've got. Now, sometimes you get the ones that tell you that, you know, diamonds and spades count for the same or something like that. And then it's like, okay, good. I want to be in flush territory.
Yeah.
I want to upgrade my flush hands. I want to upgrade my pairs, whatever the case may be. I want my high card, you know, because sometimes you run into those situations where all you're hoping for is a high card.
Yeah.
Because of the way the different rules are set up in there. So you've got to decide at some point. Sometimes you got to decide early on because the Jokers just ain't hitting. And then sometimes you got to decide about midway through. But at some point in your playthrough, you have to decide what is the hand that I need to stick to that lane and upgrade. Because you really can't. You can divide them up because it's RNG, and so it's it's whatever the hand is that you're dealt.
I mean, you can split it up, but the benefit will not.
It's not going to work. You got to really put it towards a single hand, basically.
Because when you need
maybe two,
because when you need millions of points at some point, you can only get that through certain hands,
right?
That one type of hand. So you got to be hunting for that hand and that hand alone,
because
nothing else is going to cut it.
Yeah.
And when you get to the point where you've decided on a hand, if you've built it up to the maximum that it can go, and you need something other than that hand, you know, it's game over. May as well start over. And that's happened to me plenty of times where I was in ante 6 of 8 and I needed something really big to get me over the threshold. And because I had the wrong hand built up, I couldn't do it. Just had to start over.
Yeah.
But that's the way the game works. It is completely RNG and trying to mitigate that as much as you can with the Jokers and hands that you build up. Yeah. But it's still fun all the way through, going through Balatro. So I still need to finish that deck and all the other decks to come with it. So
yeah.
That's what I've been working on these past few weeks.
I still haven't played the cell phone version of the game, you know?
I don't think I would ever do that. I think I'd have to play it on console or a laptop or something like that, or maybe a tablet.
Maybe but a tablet. My, maybe not on the phone, but maybe a tablet.
Not so much
right.
on my phone.
No. Like an iPad or your Steam Deck or something like that. Yeah, I totally understand that. I can totally get that. So, anything else?
No, that's
that was pretty much it for the 2 weeks.
Pretty much it. Well, more of the same, really. The Virtual Fighter, the MLB The Show, things like that. But the focus, for the most part, was those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for me, and for anybody who subscribes to our Twitch channel or anything like that, would know that what I did last week was it was Steam Next Fest going on. So I just downloaded and played a ton of demos on Saturday and Sunday, both. So to run through those, because there is a lot, and I did not even finish all that I wanted to get through. I still have a bunch of demos downloaded that I want to get to. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily know that I'll get to them. Maybe tomorrow, some of them. I've got a few things that I do have to do tomorrow as far as gaming is concerned, because I got a preview of the pinball table in a new table from Zen. Mm-hmm. Camp Blood, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. It's for their Pinball M series, which is just more of it's sort of like it's a mature type thing, yeah. But it's not like there's anything...
The PG-13 version?
Yeah, because here's the tables that they have in Pinball M are things like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm. I think there's a Child's Play table. There's this Camp Blood table. You know, horror stuff, a little bit, stuff like that. Nothing that is sort of, you know, what you might think.
Like, nothing risque.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, all you need do... And again, I've mentioned this before. You want to look at risque, go to your 80s pinball. First off, go to your 70s, your late 70s, early 80s, maybe all 80s pinball art design on the back glass. And you will get risque.
Yeah. A
lot of risque. But also, Bride of Pinbot.
Hmm.
There is nothing but innuendo in that table. Completely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, completely.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it and you're like, all right, kids walk up and play this thing, man. And it's a fun table to play.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic table to play. The layout and the design and everything else they have for it is fantastically done. And just one of those things that you can just play over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, I mean, and I'm sure there's more. I think there was a table based on Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
But I know that it exists. I have never actually seen it, though.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got risque. Anyway, to my Steam Next Fest, to what I've been playing and kind of going over those. I tell you what, let me hit up. When we come back from the break, I'll dive into that because I want to talk about every single one of them that I played. So for now, though, I'll just go through what I've regularly been playing, and that is, of course, Marvel Snap. And Burnout Paradise. A lot of Burnout Paradise on PC. I finally got my Burnout license, and now I'm working towards my Elite license. The Elite license, the way it worked in Burnout Paradise is you have this big, massive open world. I'm telling everybody about this. It's a car racing game. And there's no people in it. You're just you just drive a car around a city, and it's a massive open world type city. And all the intersections have events, whether they be racing or an event called Road Rage or an event called Stunt Run, or Marked Man, or the time trial, basically is what it is. So they got all those different types of intersections. Every intersection in the city is some sort of an event. And as you're going through that, as you do races and that sort of thing, it's like, hey, you start out with your learner's permit. And if you win 5 events, you upgrade your license. And then you have to win 10 events or 15, and you upgrade your license. Every time you upgrade your license, the city gets wiped clean. As far as the events.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do them again, you know? And except for the time trials.
Yeah.
The burning laps stay there. You do those once, you don't have to do them again.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I've focused on those so far. I have, I don't know, not very many more to do as far as the burning laps are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to unlock more cars to do that. But I finally got through. I'm working on my Elite license now, which means I have to do every single event in the game. And once I get my license, it will not reset. I can still run races. I can still do any of them. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to reset my progress. Once I do it, I'm done, you know? Then it's chasing down the smash signs, chasing down the billboards, getting the best time on every single street in the game, getting the best showtime score on every single street in the game.
Not a race, just a street.
Yeah, you just got, as soon as you, the game is very good at keeping track of a ton of things. Mm-hmm. And so every time you turn onto a road, it starts to time you. So if you can go from that road, depending on where, like if you turn into a road and you're in the middle of the street, in other words, you're not at the beginning of a street or anything like that, the timer doesn't get activated. Mm-hmm. It only gets activated once you hit a new street at either the beginning of it or the, you know, whichever end.
So end to end.
Yeah.
End to end.
And then it's just okay. From there to there. And once you've got the time, boom, you've got the, you own that street.
So every street.
Every single
that's
street.
There's a lot of streets in that game.
There's a bunch. And it's odd, though, because just, you know, putting around, man, you'll mm-hmm. just start to boom, boom, boom. You're not even trying. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're just beating the AI scores, which are not the greatest. Yeah. And so you're just hitting these things. Now, the online scores, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
And they're all, and the online still exists. And there's achievements to be had for the online portion of the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know yet if I'm going to try and attempt those. It will be very difficult.
Yeah.
Because I got to get 8 players. And this game's been out for a while now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The servers are still alive, but I got to get 8 players to do a bunch of challenges. Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough to do if I want to go down that route. I'm not really considering it. Then I've got Big Surf Island, which was the DLC they added, which doesn't have too much to it, but there's still stuff to do over there. And it's something I never actually completed in the game itself the very first time, around.
Got it, yeah.
Yeah, I got my elite stuff. I got all. I did all of that stuff originally when the game released back in 2008, mm-hmm. I think it was. And so when the remaster hit, even when the thing got released on other platforms, I would start playing it and go through it again. But on the remaster for PC, I really am dedicated to doing it. I have just a few more stunt runs to do. I'm kind of getting I'm getting the stuff that annoyed me out of the way first.
Yeah.
The burning, the time trial laps, I hate those. But I can only do those as I unlock cars. Because every time you unlock a new car, there is a time trial for it. Mm-hmm. And if you beat that time trial, you get an upgraded version of that car. And then after ever so many wins, they drop another car into the city. You take that car down, you own it, then you go pick it up, and then you go do the time trial for it.
Yeah.
So one of those little things. So I'm just doing those as they come. But there's two events that I just really want to get done and out of my hair, and that is Marked Man and Stunt Run. Stunt Run gives you a timer. 2 minutes is the max on that timer. Or the least amount it goes. So you get, I can't remember. Anyway. I got 2 minutes to get, certain score. And every time I complete a stunt run, that goal increases. So at first it was 100,000. Okay. Next it was 120, then 150, then 175, you know, it just would increase every time. And now I'm up to like 350, I think. Mm-hmm. 350,000. I've got 4 left to do, I believe. They're not difficult. The odd thing is that I used to think they were horribly difficult, but playing it now, they're not. I start one, and then I look for a couple of things that I can do, jumps, ramps, little things that may be near me, but at the same time, I'm working my way towards certain parts of the map where, you know, it's a gold mine of things that can work for you. Massive jumps, billboards to smash that multiply your score and things like that. So once I can get there, and it's not hard to do, then I'm fine. But I remember it being I hated doing them.
Any possibility that something has changed from the original run to the remake? Something has changed there to let the stunt races be more accessible?
No. I just think it was time. I think it was the difference in time. I think it was the fact that going from 2008 to going from now. I will say another thing, and I've said this before. I played Burnout Paradise on my PC a lot lately. And then I went back to console and tried, and I had it on there, and I got done playing, I think it was Burnout Revenge on the backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
And I switched over just to Burnout Paradise on console again, just to like, hey, let's jump in there. I was not as good. For whatever reason, the where I sit in on the console, which is a good ways away from the TV, of course, TV's big, compared to where I'm playing on my PC, a little bit closer, up close to the screen. I don't know if that makes a difference or not, but I've been doing it so much better on the PC than I have been on my console.
Is the camera view the same?
Camera view is exactly the same, but I think it's because I'm just way more focused when I'm sitting there in front of the PC, mm-hmm. and I really can see everything a whole lot clearer with what I'm doing. For folks who don't know, previous burnouts, when you would do a race, the track was not cut off from you, but it was laid out for you. Like, you could not drive out of bounds. You were set on that track. Mm-hmm. You could wreck. You could get wrecked. You could, you know, whatever the case, that's fine. But you couldn't drive off the track. Burnout Paradise is not that way. It is completely open. So when your race starts at one intersection and ends at one of the 8 points on the map, north, northwest, west, whatever, southwest, you know, that sort mm-hmm. of thing as it goes around the dial. Yeah. It's up to you to go from that point to that point and figure out how. The computer will tell you and give you visual cues of like, hey, you need to turn. The blinker on the back of your car will blink when a turn's coming up. The street sign will flicker up on top of the screen, letting you know that, hey, your intersection's coming up where you got to turn. But you got to pay attention to that. You got to know that that's where you got to turn. And a lot of the times, trying to focus just on the driving, and you would miss your turn or something would happen and you'd get off track. It's so much more about knowing the map than it is about almost anything else when it comes to your races. Because you've really got to know where you are on the map to catch up or, you know, reacclimate yourself or wherever you are. It's really good, you know, at the beginning of a race, you're just kind of following the pack. But if you get out in front, it's up to you.
Yeah.
It's up to you to figure out, okay, which way do I need to go to get to where I need to be? Mm-hmm. And you hope that you can follow that. But it's been easier for me to play on PC than it has on console. So the stunt run thing, you do stunts, you do that sort of thing. Like I said, it's gotten easier for me because I think I let it get to me when I was playing it back in 2008, that it was just a difficult thing to do. But playing it now, it's just, no, boost yourself down to the bridges, do some jumps. You got a bunch of billboards, hit those, get over to Big Surf, hit some mega jumps. You're fine. I know the car to use for it. It's great. It's working out. No problem. It's been good. Marked Man's the same way. Marked Man is a mode where you start at one point on the map and you have to drive again to one of those 8 points on the map that I told you about. That's the finish for everything. It's one of those 8 points on a like a navigational, you know, compass.
Yeah.
Again, how you get there is up to you in both a race and Marked Man and Burning Route, although honestly, if you're doing Burning Route, there really is only one way to do it because mm-hmm. you've got to beat that time. But Marked Man puts you against 4 or 5, it doesn't matter. I don't know how many other cars are on the road with you, but they are all there to run you over. Mm-hmm. You can take as long as you need to. You don't have to come in first because this is not a race. It is just survive from point A to point B. Because if you get wrecked enough times, your car will say damage critical, and the next time you get wrecked, if you didn't make it, game over. Mm-hmm. That's gotten easier for me. I remember hating it. This is why I saved these things for last, because I remember dreading them. Mm-hmm. But I will say, out of all the events, Marked Man and Stunt Run are the most boring to me. Because there's just... The Marked Man stuff, I now have a van that acts as a tank. And while, yes, they can take that down for the most part, I just run through everything. I can run into the back of cars. I can run through. I just move them out of the way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I get through it. And it's gotten easier. Mm-hmm. I'm not timed on it. And I don't have to come in first or anything. So being able to get my bearings and either get the car repaired in the middle of the run or get to the finish line, not a problem. It really has become. And so these are the two things that I'm focusing on first to get those. I'm saving my races and my road rage for the last of it. And I'm also going to record, not necessarily stream, but I am going to record my races and my road rage and put some, if I got some good stuff, put some videos together of some, you know, good moments and good things runs, like that. Yeah. Yeah, because I was doing it the other day. I was doing something. I think it was, I don't know if it was road rage or a race. And man, I went to go take down a car and I took him down, but he hit something and just launched like a rocket, just all up into the air. And I really hated the fact that I wasn't recording any of that. And I said, you know, you need to start recording your events here.
Yeah.
I said, you know, just record it when you're doing it, but I won't record like my time trial or the boring stuff. Stunt run's boring. Marked man's boring. But the races and the road rage, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Those are the most fun. So I've been enjoying that, and I'm getting closer and closer. Oh, and I got to do the bikes because they put in motorcycles. I got to do the motorcycles in there. So there's still a lot. And there's a lot to do if I want to do online stuff too, but I don't know that I will.
Is Mark Mann available for motorcycles?
It might be, but I don't know. I don't think so. That's a good question. I'm not sure. The events, the motorcycles, I haven't messed around with the motorcycles.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what's available. I know they have...
Because I know the difficult, as opposed to a heavy van,
yeah,
having a motorbike in Mark Mann, you're going to have to be divisive. As all get out to get through that, if it's available.
Well, see, I don't think they have those. I don't think you race with bikes. Like, maybe online you can do it, but mm-hmm. I don't think you can, like, with other players, but I don't think you can race with bikes. Like, everybody's in a bike and they get to race.
Yeah.
I think it is, there are two events I know for the bikes, and they are all time trials.
No.
There's midnight rides where you drive at night,
mm-hmm.
and then there's daytime rides and you ride in the day, and they're just time trials. That's it. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, I don't know. I haven't messed around with the bikes. I kind of want to, just to say there's something I really didn't get involved with when the game came out, but yeah.
I guess for completion's sake at this point, was yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's just going back through it, and it's been a blast to do. I've really, really enjoyed it. What I wish is that it's gotten me, I don't want to say nostalgic, but it really has gotten me longing for another Burnout game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm playing 3 and then playing Revenge and then playing Paradise has really, I looked into, you know, it's really gotten me going as far as like diving into all the different games they made, the history of Criterion. You know, I got to visit their studio. That was a lot of fun mm-hmm. when I visited England. And it is a game. It is a series that I've really enjoyed, and I've hated to see that we don't have anything since then. I know they've been working on Need for Speed games, but I swear, EA.
It's something about racing titles. Maybe I'm alone in this, but it's something about racing titles. The classic racers are the ones that I'm having the most fun with.
Yeah.
As opposed to the ones that come out.
Well, what are you nowadays? Talking classic racers?
Okay, like Daytona USA.
Okay.
You know, something like that.
Outrun.
Outrun, things like that. Or something a little more wild, a split second. Split second was a lot of fun to play.
Yeah,
you know, but the ones that the racing titles I'm seeing nowadays, or the ones that I've noticed anyway, or more simulation, don't have that real arcadey feel. It's like you have to micromanage your vehicles and things like that, or something along those lines.
Maybe Forza Horizon,
like a Gran Turismo.
Yeah, no, Gran Turismo. Lines. That's your sim. Forza's a sim too, but Forza Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
Was always the arcade version of that. But even as the arcade version of it, it still had too much sim in it for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Need for Speed's one I haven't played in a while. So I don't know how they're doing. You know, I haven't played a Need for Speed game in a long time. And I know they've released Need for whatever, the most recent one, mm-hmm. Criterion worked on, actually. And okay. I hated it. I remember talking about it on this show. I played it. God, it's not Need... Is it Need for Speed Underground? I don't think it's Underground. No, 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 no.
Is that the cel-shaded one?
Yeah, it's got car effects. Like when you Like whenever you do a jump, like these animated wings stick out on the car as you're jumping. They have like interesting little effects for when you're spinning out or smoke effects.
Is it Unbound?
Unbound. That's what it was. Yeah. Not Underground, but Unbound. Need for Speed Unbound. Yeah. I played that and I hated it.
Yeah. Released on December 2nd of 2022.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I did not like it. So anyway, those are the games that I'm playing basically all the time. But when we come back from this break here, I'm going to jump into some of the Steam Next Fest demos I got to play. And then we'll jump into some of the news as well. Oh, and I see old Duke, Steve, is in the chat room. So when we come back, we'll talk to him too. Here is music. By the way, it's our final episode of Halloween Spooky Season. And instead of getting brand new music here, I just went back and got some of the classics for us that I've used before. And this is just, it's from Kingdom Hearts, so you know exactly what it is. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat after this. And welcome back into In-Game Chat. That is music from Friday the 13th. It's the map of Camp Crystal Lake. That's the old Nintendo version. What was the...
Yeah.
What was the developer? What was the publisher? What was that
one? LJN.
Old? LJN. That's who it was, man.
Let's just say they took some liberties with the franchises they were making games based on.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, for instance, Purple Jason.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th. Dude was just a big purple blob.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he wasn't a purple blob, but I mean, he was in some kind of purple jumpsuit.
The color scheme was just awful.
The mask was purple.
The mask was purple. I think that, what was it? He had the Joker colors. I think it was like a purple mask and a dark green jumpsuit or something like that.
Yeah. It wasn't even dark green. It was all purple.
Oh, it was all purple.
His jumpsuit was purple. His mask was purple. Yeah.
So shades of purple.
It was all purple.
Man.
Yep.
What was the worst effort of? What was it? Back to the Future, the one they took the most liberties with?
I mean, you could go with any of them, man. Yeah. Knight Rider was crap. Back to the Future was bad. Then they did, I think it was them that did, or was that a claim? Somebody did Back to the Future 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
That was also bad. It was just always, God, it's hard to go back to. I think they did Jaws as well.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Now we're looking at it. Let's see.
It's not good. Which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at LJN Games, but they Alien 3.
What a fun roster that must be.
Let's see. Alien 3, The Amazing Spider-Man, Back to the Future. Back to the Future 2 and 3.
Okay, it was them then.
Friday the 13th, Gotcha, The Sport, Jaws, The Karate Kid. Ooh, what did they do with the Karate Kid?
Oh, they did Karate Kid, didn't they? Yeah, okay. I forgot about that. There's Jaws.
Major League Baseball, NBA All-Star Challenge, NFL video game.
They did Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Excuse me. They did Roger Rabbit and Uncanny X-Men. Yeah. I own both of those. Roger Rabbit I played more of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I used a Game Genie to finally beat because it was so difficult. Uncanny X-Men, I didn't get very far with that one.
Pictionary, The Punisher.
No, I don't remember that one. I feel like I remember that. WrestleMania Challenge, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Let's see. They did some sports titles.
Yeah. Terminator 2.
Oh, they did Maximum Carnage, but they did Maximum Carnage for the SNES and not the Genesis. And I remember the Genesis being the better version of that game. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Town and Country 2. I remember they did that. Wow, they did. They had a license with the WWF because they did a lot of WWF games. Interestingly enough. Spirit of Speed 1937 was their final game released for the Dreamcast back in 2000. Interesting. I haven't looked at their roster in a while, so yeah. Old LJN. What are they? They're done now, right?
They should be.
Defunct back in 1994. Mm-hmm. Oh, they were founded in 67. What were you releasing in 67? Excuse me while I look at this. Nothing. According to this. Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Anyway.
Toys, I guess, basically.
Maybe.
Because it was officially, I guess it was called LJN Toys Limited.
It's a toy company,
yeah.
It was
a toy company. Well,
yeah.
Nintendo was the what? The card
game.
They
would
make cards, yeah.
They made playing cards. Steve, you there?
Hey now.
Look at that. All I had to do was just ask and he was there. What's up, Steve?
What's going on?
How's it going, man?
Doing pretty well. Just thought I'd check in.
Yeah.
See if you guys are playing any of the Diablo expansion.
No. Sorry, no. I did play a ton of demos from Steam Next Fest. I don't know if you got into any of those from last time.
No, because I've been playing Diablo.
Yeah, probably. Just going through them real quick. Let's see. Oh, I played Keep Driving, that RPG driving thing. I don't know if you played it. It's all pixel. It's pixel art type stuff, and it's drive. I liked it. I had some issues with it.
I keep thinking of that Atari game, Hard Driving or Race Driving.
Basically, it's you driving from one end of the map to the other, but as you drive, and you have to put stuff in your trunk, and the trunk is like the it's like an inventory game, like it was in Resident Evil, stuff like that about how you position your stuff to get the most use out of it in your trunk.
So like in 4?
Maybe,
Evil,
I guess.
Resident Evil 4, you had a attaché case, and you had to arrange stuff in a certain way so to get things to fit, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got that, but you can also put stuff in the back seat, and you can put stuff in the glove compartment as well. But you'll, as you're driving from certain positions on the map, because this takes place apparently in the early 90s, you'll come across things, and you have an energy level and all these other things that you can use to sort of help with whatever the case may be, whether it be potholes or a hitchhiker or what was another one? There's a bunch of different other things that you would come across as you're driving. Mm-hmm. And you would have to figure that out to get to the next pit stop to either fill up for gas or buy consumables that would, you know, regenerate your energy and stuff like that, or help you with a problem. You can buy gas, you can buy duct tape, you can buy snacks, sodas, cigarettes, all kinds of things that help you to survive the drive sort of thing as you go along. Some of it, I was hoping it would pull me in more, and it didn't. So I'm kind of, yeah.
So what, road trip survival, something like that?
Yeah, but it's kind of an RPG type thing. Because you've got to decide on these things, like you got to decide what your relationship with your parents is. You have to decide what you want to bring with you on this trip to hopefully survive whatever the elements throw at you. And then as you stop at gas stations, you pick up stuff to replenish that and to keep going because you're trying to get to your friend's house. So anyway, stuff like that. Like I said, sort of liked it. Had some issues. Mm-hmm. What else did I play? I played Ale Abbey, which is you basically running an abbey that makes beer. And you have to, took me forever to figure out how to make the beer. Like, you'd get a recipe, and I was going through it, and I was making this stuff, but apparently it didn't taste very good. It was only until, like, halfway through my demo time that I realized that I could change a percentage of the ingredients that I'm putting in there to get the flavor or the color or the content or whatever to fall into where it needs to be like, hey, this is really good. You know, more people want it. It gets more demand. You can sell it for more. So yeah, that was kind of fun. You could hire new people to work in your brewery. You had to provide them with sleeping quarters, with eating quarters, and then, of course, where you're going to brew the beer, and then, of course, a cellar where you're going to store all of it, and all sorts of different things. And I really, really enjoyed Ale Abbey, well, especially once I figured out, you know, what I was doing there. Really, really enjoyed it.
So Brewing Simulator 2024.
Yeah, that was what it was. Worshippers of Cthulhu. That was fun. You are basically shipwrecked on this island where the elder gods remain. And you start building, you know, you tell them to build shelter, build like a place that processes the trees, the wood, so that you can build more things. You have to build storage stuff, food, crops, these sort of things. But you also have to make sacrifices, human sacrifices. You also have to feed to the elder gods so that they don't get angry. And then you've got to lure people to your island to either join your cult or to make sacrifices. So,
is it a city builder?
Kind of, yes.
Yeah, okay.
You say city, but it's more like a village.
Cult builder?
Yeah, like a village builder. You're already a cult.
Oh, okay.
You don't necessarily have to bring more people in. It's not Cult of the Lamb-like, but you don't have to bring more people in. You can. It's going to help because you need more people to run more buildings in the group. But then, you know, there's also this weird thing where you you carve things into the skin of your followers.
That's a cult. Don't worry about it.
I mean, yeah. But like certain carvings represent bonuses to certain production things that they can do. Like one of your cultists is really good at making clothes.
Is it like that thing in dang, I forgot the name of the game. The one with the psychosis. Sin of Sacrifice.
No.
No?
No.
Like those runes or whatever?
I mean, yeah, they're not, they're, no. Okay. Let me just go ahead and say no.
Basically some symbol you put on someone, it makes them do something.
It just increases their ability to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they become, like, they may be really good at brewing beer, I guess. I don't know. Whatever the, whatever they're skilled at, there is a design that you can carve into them that will make them even better at that.
Okay.
So there's those things like that. And so I liked it even for the city building part of things. I really kind of enjoyed that. Tombstalkers is one I played. That sucked. Don't play it. It's horrible. Felt like a cell phone game. The Precinct, which basically is Cop Simulator.
Yeah, plenty of those.
Kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of those on PlayStation Network. Plenty of things like
Well,
that.
it has a very GTA style because it's kind of top down.
I want to say it was called This Is the Police.
Yeah, I think that was the one
it was called. Yeah,
this has a top down view of it. Looks really, really good. You can go patrolling, and then the first thing you do, I think, is go and stop a bank or stop some robbery or something. I can't remember what it was, but you go and anyway, they go through the basics of it. Then you get to fly in a helicopter and mark a vehicle for the other police. It, really good. I really, really actually enjoyed that game. I was wondering if I would like it, but especially because I was coming off of, what was it? Tombstalkers or something like that. And I was just like, eh. So
get a taste that
and Keep Driving was another one because I was like, ah, these could be hit or miss. And some of these were kind of like pretty popular on the list of demos. I was like, I hope it works. Precinct actually worked for me. I really like that. House of Tesla demo. That is the guys who did the House of Da Vinci. I think Blue Point Games. It's a puzzle thing. Yes, I liked it. I didn't put a lot of time into it because I had other demos to play. And this is one of those things where I'm going to be sitting there for a while trying to figure out puzzles. Seemed boring to watch. So I wanted to move on to something else. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Splintered Fate. That is a roguelike with the Ninja Turtles, and I really liked it. You accumulate points, then at some point you get to spend those points on upgrades to your turtles, and yeah, you just keep going. It was a lot of fun. I really, really like that. What else did I play? Felt like more than that. Lonely Mountain Snow Riders. This is an isometric skiing game that kind of pulled me in, except for the fact that when the camera changes, your controls change.
So depending on your perspective.
Yes, but you have no control over the camera. There's just, and that's sort of the puzzle to it. That's sort of the gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can complain about that, but that's actually the gimmick because of the way you're coming down the mountain, and when the camera wants to shift into a different position, you have to then think on the fly of like, okay, now I have to turn in a different way. You can slow down. You don't have to go fast.
So it's like a... having to change your perception with like tank controls in Resident Evil, something like that, depending on how the person's facing, that's what happens.
Yeah, because if I am about to turn left and the camera's in a certain position, maybe from behind me,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden it sweeps around to a different side and I was going to turn left, now I need to move my controller, the control stick to a different position in order to make that turn.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the gimmick to it.
Yeah.
But it looked great. The snow was great. The whole thing was nice. You can do tricks and stuff. And yeah, I liked it. It's in way early access right now, but it'll come with more people to race against, more things to do. It was fun. I liked it. What else?
It's not SSX.
I know. Well, you can try it. What was that game I told you about? I've already forgotten. It's still in early access, but it is basically an SSX. It's a tricky clone.
Mm-hmm.
SSX Tricky Clone. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what it was called.
I'll probably look up at the...
it's on my wish list,
whatever, yeah.
Which I would open up now and look at. Knights in Tight Spaces. Steve, I don't know if you ever played Fights in Tight Spaces.
I have not.
Yeah, I haven't either. And kind of made me want to go back and play that. Knights in Tight Spaces is a deck builder where, depending on who you pick to play as, they have different abilities, which are laid out in a deck form for you. So whenever you're coming upon an enemy, you play a couple of cards that will do actions like kick or dodge or move to a different side of your enemy so you can get a different throw, push, a couple of different things that you can do. I didn't put a lot of time into it, but I enjoyed what I did, and it kind of made me want to go back and play Fights in Tight Spaces to get a better idea of what I was doing in that demo. We're getting close to the end here. I played All In Abyss. It was poker. And I thought, I know how to play poker. I'll see what this does. Well, you do play poker.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of anime style. It's like when you're about to show your hand.
Mm-hmm.
This flashy animation plays because it's all in anime. So, you know, it's kind of like the objection point in Ace Attorney or whatever like that. It's just over the top,
mm-hmm.
way over the top and over dramatized for a game of poker.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked the poker part of it. Everything else about it, I was kind of confused with and didn't know what else I was doing. And I was just like, when are we going to play more poker? You know, because I'd play a poker hand and then it would take me back to this sort of menu where I could go to different parts of the city and for whatever reason, not play poker there. I don't know what was going on there, but you'd get a dialogue box would pop up to tell you what happened. And then you go back to the menu thing,
mm-hmm.
and you'd pick another part of the city to go to. It's really confusing and seemed like it was a whole lot of... There's a whole lot of layers on top of playing poker,
mm-hmm.
when really I just wanted to do the poker part of things. So, I don't know. I don't know where I sit on that one. Played a game called Blow It Up. So remember when I said Tombstalkers was crap, don't play it, it looks like a cell phone game?
Right.
Blow It Up looks like a cell phone game, but I didn't feel like it was crap. It should not be more than $5 when it gets released, if
keyword,
that.
Keyword being should.
Yeah. If that, it should not be more than $5 when it's released. It is basically Angry Birds. There's a...
Less than $5.
Yeah, right? There's a thing on the map, or on the play field, I guess you could say, and then you're basically just a bomb, and you direct the arc that you're going to launch yourself,
mm-hmm.
and how to hit and knock these, you know, and blow up these things. That's it. That's all you do.
Yeah.
It was fun, but it doesn't need to, it really doesn't need to cost more than $5, given what I saw of it and what I played. And then finally,
Angry Birds was free.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
I remember, it's been a while. I don't remember playing
it.
It
was free. I can see why it aided in its popularity.
Yeah. I think it's free on Steam.
It could be. I'm not sure. I remember flying back from, I think it was one of the E3s. I mean, it could have been PAX. I don't remember. It was a night flight, though. And this sticks out in my head because I had heard about Angry Birds, but I hadn't played any of it. And whoever I was sitting next to was playing it on the flight. And I remember asking, is that Angry? Yeah, you do that. And they were explaining to me how it worked.
Yeah.
And so I watched it and I was like, oh, okay. It seemed fun. It still didn't put its claws into me to where I played it or anything, but Blow It Up feels like Angry Birds.
Any variations to the bombs?
Not yet.
Okay, because Angry Birds, to my recollection, had plenty of variations, and the different type of birds do different types of things.
Yep, nope, so, this is just a bomb.
Yeah.
There's like level one, and then once you beat level one, the demo's over. So I don't know if there's more stuff to come in level two. The last one I played was Ballionaire. I don't know why. Ballionaire? I think it's Ballionaire.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. If you like Peggle or Plinko or anything like that, play Ballionaire. B-A-L-L and then I-O-N-A-I-R-E. Mm-hmm. Ballionaire. That was legitimately fun. And it's going to be hard for me to explain exactly what all happens because there's apparently a gigantic number of different power-ups to use in this thing. Mm-hmm. And the further you progress, every time you clear a board, you get to pick another power-up to put on the board. So when the ball hits that power-up, you get more money, you get more balls over the into the playing field, you get all kinds of different things. There's tons of stuff. And you can rack up a massive amount of scores as you're doing it. And that's, I think, what appealed to me most was that it's a score chaser.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked good, and it played well, and I really, really liked it.
Okay, Pachinko.
Is that what you're looking up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when you said Plinko, I'm thinking Price is Right.
That's what it feels like to me. It starts from the bottom, hits some pegs, and bounces.
Yeah, so I looked it up, yeah. It's a Pachinko roguelike, yeah. So, okay.
Yep. And you have no aim. In other words, there's not...
No, there's no aim in Plinko or Pachinko.
Well, in Plinko, you can pick the lane you want to drop the ball through or whatever,
yeah,
the chip.
You let that thing go. It's,
and the well, face, then it's, the face it's, the side, yeah, it's yeah. up to the gods after that. Yeah. But with
or
this
RNG.
One, yeah, with this one, it started, and imagine a pyramid.
Yeah.
The first peg, yeah, exactly. So it starts from the top and hits there and then bounces around and all the way down to the bottom.
Right.
You can put teleporters at the bottom or you can put teleporters anywhere you want to once you get those. And once if the ball lands into that, it gets teleported back to the top and starts over again. Mm-hmm. Still accumulating money and bonuses and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, because I was about to say, it doesn't reset your score when it hits the teleporter, so I'm guessing
it keeps going. Exactly. So I loved that a lot. I really, really enjoyed Ballionaire, if I'm pronouncing that right. So there you go. There's my Steam Next Fest. And I have a bunch of others downloaded that I have not touched yet, and I can't wait to get into those. But yeah. Did you play any Next Fest stuff, Steve?
No, like I said, I've just been... The two games I've been really... focusing on by myself have been Diablo and the Starfield expansion. Those are the two new things.
How is that?
Which one?
Starfield expansion.
Nah. I guess what really is the disappointing thing about it is you're stuck to like you're a planet. Like you don't leave the planet. The entire story mission takes place on this planet, and you're kind of, it's just like a giant, you know, area for you to kind of explore.
How's the vehicle?
I haven't even got the vehicle yet because then Diablo came out, and I've really been focusing the time on that. But Diablo's been the surprise to me. Like, and you'll probably read online that, like, everybody hates it. And it's so funny with, like, the way Diablo, you know, the Diablo releases or Blizzard releases happen, because what happens is, you know, a new release happens or a new expansion, they tweak things. You know, the no lifers will get to the end game and max out, you know, within, you know, a week, and they'll complain that it's broken even though that the season is designed to be 3 months long. You know, like there's like that's literally when the next season is going to end. I think it's in January.
Oh, really?
And then the casual players like me would be like, oh, I don't know what the big deal is. This is great. And then Blizzard will fix things. So by the time I actually get to the end game, everything's great. So it's just, but like rinse and repeat. That's the exact same cycle that happens every single time.
Yeah.
The people that just, you know, sink 150 hours into it in 1 week complain that there's nothing to do or that something's broken.
And, you know, it reminds me of Destiny. We would blow through the content in no time. And then get to a point where it's like, yeah, there's nothing new to do, or there's same old stuff. But that's what Destiny is, though, same old stuff. You just do it over and over and over again. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more with Steve, if you got time, because I'm not done with you yet.
Yeah, I got a couple more minutes.
Okay, yeah, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get more with him. And I don't know, we'll talk about, other games that have been released. Because, you know, you had Star Wars, you had, what else was there? Something else that was coming out that we were all interested in. Or at least you were, I know. Well, anyway, Dragon Age is doing
it. It was Warhammer.
Warhammer, that's right. God, it's been forever since I talked to you. Yeah, Warhammer. We had the Alan Wake 2 DLC release. We've got Sonic Shadow Generations that came out. The new Zelda game. It's just a lot of stuff has been released since the last time we talked to you, and I haven't played any of it. So... anyway, we'll come back with more of In-Game Chat and Steve in just a bit. Here is music from New Super Mario Brothers Wii. It is ye old Ghost House theme. Of course it is. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. It's one of my favorites. Not game, just music. This is from Saw, the video game. I think it's Konami was the publisher on that one. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Steve, you there?
I am.
All right, man. What else have you... So you've been doing the Diablo stuff, but more of that. And I guess Warhammer, you did that too, right?
Well, not really. It was kind of weird. I've been jumping around. So, you know, I have a crew it's a crew of four of us that we all try to play co-op on a lot of the games that we play.
Right.
And we had run through Baldur's Gate, and that took us like a good bit to kind of get through.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all trying to figure out like, hey, we'll play Space Marines together next. And I'm like, that lines up perfect. That's why we're all excited. But it's only 3-player co-op.
Right.
It's not 4-player. So one guy would have been left out. So we were like, all right, what else do we do? And we really couldn't come up with anything that made sense at the moment. So we actually started playing Fallout 76. And we got maybe 10, 15 hours in, and it just wasn't doing it for us. Like, it was apparently, and I didn't know this, it's not just like any MMO where you can join each other and you can do quests together. All the quests are separate to the player. So, like, what? You can't share, like, if one person's turning in something, everybody has to turn in something. Like, and then everybody sees like their own separate cutscenes. Everybody sees like their own. Everything is kind of fragmented while you're playing in the same group together. However, if you pony up and pay like some kind of subscription to it, then all of the quests are shared. You can have like a true, you know, co-op experience. So we didn't realize that until like we were 15, 20 hours in, and then we were like, F this. Like, we're not going to, like, this is like a sham, and we're not going to waste our time with this anymore. So, so that was kind of a, like a rude awakening playing that game. And it's Fallout, I guess, but it's not a true like multiplayer experience. It's really kind of feels like shabbled together.
Or yeah.
Not
yeah.
really well thought out.
Speaking of that, did you play Suicide Squad? That's a co-op. Isn't
no,
it?
No.
Is that,
no.
Isn't it four-player co-op though?
It might be, but I mean, like, if it comes down to $5, I'll try it. But there's no way.
Well, I mean, it was, well, yeah, it was free on EGS. When was that? Back for Black or Prime Day?
Yeah, a few months ago.
Wasn't it? Yeah, Prime Day over the summer, it was free on EGS if you had Amazon Prime, Epic Game Store, or whatever.
You know what that reminds. You know what that reminds me of, Steve. Your situation with Fallout 76. What was that? Metal Gear Survive. You had to pay for your save slots.
Is it true?
It was like you had to pay like $10 per save slot for the game, or something like that. Something that is like it's a normal function in games. Now you have to pay for. So when you say you have to pay for the co-op sharing of the event, things like that, I'm like, wait a minute. So what's the point of playing multiplayer if you're not going to join forces together and get your stuff cleared out? Unless you pay a small fee. Yeah.
Or you just play solo and you just like run into like randoms, you know, in the world. Cause it technically is an MMO, right? Like there's people building bases and like you can PvP and stuff like that. But, you know, if you wanted to actually have a group of people to do that with, it seems like they're trying to charge for it.
You know, something I've never heard of this aspect of the game before. And I'm surprised I haven't heard anything about anybody upset about it. I would think there'd be articles all over the place talking about, what is Bethesda doing?
That was why we like considered it, because we knew about the launch problems. We knew about like all the press it got from day one, all the bugs, the people cheating, you know, on and on and on. But the reviews have gone, it's almost pulled like a No Man's Sky where like they were overwhelmingly negative and now they're all of a sudden they're mostly positive. And we're like, okay, you know, that's reassuring, but it's got to be just like strictly Fallout fans, like just hardcore Fallout people playing this.
I think so.
I can't imagine that anybody who's come from another MMO world would put up with this. I don't know. I'm not an MMO guy. Like I play a little bit of New World and WoW back in the day, but I don't even think I made it to a level high enough to get a mount, so I wouldn't even call myself an MMO guy at that point. But it's just like it doesn't have the quality of life features that you would expect in that kind of big game. That was our stumble, and then we pivoted to Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, like the Borderlands universe, playing that. We had our first session last week. And it seems to be light years better of a co-op experience. And, you know, that makes sense because Gearbox has been through this 4 or 5 times at this point. So I wouldn't expect them to screw up a co-op game. And it's, you know, Tiny Tina. She's the best NPC, I think, that's ever been created in the last 20 years of gaming. So it's been fun so far. Mm-hmm.
Are you at all looking at Dragon Age next week?
What about Dragon Age?
Dragon Age Veilguard? It's not co-op. It's just releasing next week.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah. The recent Dragon Age, yes.
October 31st, huh?
Yeah. I go back to, well, I don't go to No Man's Sky? No. I don't go to No Man's Sky on this. I just remember not at all being interested in it. And then once the press got to spend, you know, like 6 hours with the game or something, they came back overjoyed with what they had played, and it turned me around a little bit. It turned my interest around. I'm not saying I'm gonna get it, but I have suddenly become more interested in it than what I was before.
Maybe I'm at the point where if I hear the press or the media rave about a game, I'm skeptical already.
Well, it changed my mind because I was already skeptical, and then when they said, whoa, this is great, this is, because the way they were relating it was the same way that I felt, where nothing here was clicking. But then when they got to play it, it really panned out for them with what it was doing. And I don't know.
I need to know who from press is saying this first before. I'm in RJ's camp. Like, you know, if they're just hire, you know, bringing in the biggest fans of Dragon Age and saying, hey, play this game early, You know, I want to hear a little bit more across the board, you know, from some of the other publications before getting too excited about this.
Yeah. Let's see. Do you want, I mean, who do you want to hear from? I've got, Games Radar.
I want somebody from like non, like a non PlayStation blog, you know, something like something that's, I don't know, Polygon or.
Well, I got PC Gamer. I've got Games Radar. I've got Kotaku. So I don't know who you want me to pick from, but I can do that if you want.
Pick a random one, just like a glowing review.
Yeah, PC Gamer.
PC Gamer.
Playing 6 hours of Dragon Age: The Veilguard. This is the headline. Gave me the faith its trailers could not. This is the BioWare comeback fans want. Is what they said. And again, I'm in the same boat. Watching those trailers did not pull me in, but 6 hours with it changed this guy's tune. Dragon Age: The Veilguard. This is the first sentence in this preview. Dragon Age: The Veilguard is going to be called BioWare's comeback. It isn't built on the multiplayer trend chasing that plagued Anthem. And from the 6 hours I got to play during a hands-on preview event this month, Veilguard didn't seem to be the buggy mess that Mass Effect Andromeda was either. It has all sorts of features that prove BioWare was listening to its players, and critically, it's BioWare doing what it's meant to be best at, gorgeous, intense, intimate RPGs. All the marketing for the Veilguard so far has been polarizing. My fellow Dragon Age nerds at PC Gamer have been going back and forth on whether each new video heralds doom or redemption. Prior to playing it, I was trending towards the disillusioned side. Now, in spite of all the choices BioWare's made that I do still disagree with, the double down on action combat, the shiny and poreless character design, the cartoonish darkspawn, I believe the Veilguard is going to be a great return to the world I've loved for 15 years. So, I don't know. That's the first paragraph of it. So, and there's a lot of articles like that where they weren't sold on what they were seeing, but after they got to spend some time with it, they really liked it. So I'm kind of curious. I mean, it's not something I'm going to be buying day one, but it's something I'm going to be looking more at, not only reviews, but also player, you know, people playing it and what they're saying about it.
Yeah, that's the great thing about Steam these days. You just get an instant refund, you know, under 2 hours of playing time if you don't like the game these days. It's just really easy to do.
I haven't done that.
Oh God, it's so, I mean, it's just like you said, I'm not gonna be buying it day one, but like say you were, you know, just wanted to try it and you weren't even thinking about keeping it. And then you play for 2 hours and then say, yeah, not for me. And they'll just give you a refund.
Maybe. Is that the
window, 2 hours?
It's 2 hours, yeah. If you play it, but you've also got how long without playing it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how long it sits in your account.
I think you get like 14 days or something like that. 7 to 14 days if you've not played it
yet. Yeah, okay.
It's reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you could buy it and not play it, and then you could have pre-ordered it and not played it, and then you realize, oh, it's a buggy mess. Mm-hmm. I, you know what? Take that back. I'll buy it whenever it's working correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. I'm looking at the screenshots and videos now. it looks just like Baldur's Gate. Like the art style of like the characters they're showing just on like the Steam page, and I'm like, oh my god, those are the characters in Baldur's Gate.
I'm still interested, man. I'm interested to hear more about it.
Even that weird like hammerhead enemy thing, like that looks like one of the enemies in Baldur's Gate.
In Baldur's Gate, yeah.
The tentacles and everything.
But where Baldur's Gate feels like...
Similar to games you've played, Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. But where Baldur's Gate feels like something like Skyrim, Dragon Age feels like... Or this, Dragon Age Veilguard, feels something that is way more compact. Like, Baldur's Gate feels massive.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Dragon Age Veilguard does not feel like that. It feels like it's a much, I don't want to say smaller scale, but reined in a whole lot more. Like, probably very linear.
Like DLC for Baldur's Gate?
There is no DLC for Baldur's Gate.
I said like it. If it was DLC for Baldur's Gate.
Like an expand alone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you've got Spider-Man and then you got the Miles Morales game. Mm-hmm. You got, you know, Baldur's Gate and you got the little Dragon Age. That's what it seems, but I have no idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I really don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely one of them wait and see type of things because I'm hearing about the, I hear that review you talked about. It's like, is this going to like pull in new players or things of that nature? Or is it just going to be appealing only to Dragon Age fans?
Well, I was going to say Dragon Age fans have been waiting for a while for a new Dragon Age game. A lot like Mass Effectors were waiting a while for something after 3.
Yeah.
And they got Andromeda. And I think that was another worry of those fans was like, is this going to happen to us? Is this going to be our Andromeda when they release it? You know? And... Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, the wait wasn't that long between 3 and Andromeda. That's the funny thing. Like people think it was like an eternity.
Feels like it was, right? Feels like it was a while.
Yeah, and I think I mean, I get it. Like there's only so many good developers that BioWare has, but they totally threw their C team at Andromeda. Like they're like, "Yeah, here's the formula. Go make it."
Are you looking that up right now, RJ?
I'm looking up the release date for Mass Effect Andromeda. It says March of 2017.
2017?
Yeah.
And then what was...
So it was 5 years between 3 and Andromeda.
Really? See? Yeah, okay. So now you're going to look up Dragon Age? Because I'm about to.
Got to be like a decade, right?
It feels like a long time. let's see.
Yeah, he's right. Almost exactly 5 years, actually.
For Dragon Age as well?
No, for Mass Effect and Mass Effect Andromeda.
All right, so let's see. There's Dragon Age 2. Dragon Age Inquisition was 2014. So 10 years. Mm-hmm. 10 years since the last Dragon Age release. I'm not sure how well Inquisition did. But to go from that, Dragon Age Origins was 2009. Dragon Age 2 was 2011. Not a big gap there. Then from 2011 to 2014, again, not a big gap there. Now, 10 years have passed. What feels like an eternity. But you got nothing on Splinter Cell, I'll tell you that.
Did I see a game was coming?
Did you see a what, huh?
Was there a new game coming for Splinter Cell?
Nope. There's an animated series that's coming to Netflix for Splinter Cell. And there is...
Something using the character of Sam Fisher and something else, right?
Ghost Recon. Yeah, but they did... I mean, Ubisoft did announce that they were doing a remake or remaster of the first Splinter Cell game. Mm-hmm. That doesn't count in my countdown of Splinter Cell releases. Give me another original game.
Yeah.
And they just won't apparently do it. But, my guess is that this remaster will release probably around the time this animated series hits Netflix just to capitalize.
Yeah.
And if that does enough, then I would think maybe we get more Splinter Cell in some form or another. Mm-hmm. So who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I think that's the only thing else that I was thinking about coming out. Call of Duty came out, and it's on Game Pass now, but I have not touched it or thought about touching it. But it's there. It's an odd thing that I have Call of Duty at my disposal.
I feel very similar to you with that in with Silent Hill 2. Silent Hill 2 is on my pedestal for like best game ever. Scared the crap out of me. Whenever it came out, 99?
I've got 2000. A Silent Hill 2 track coming up, by the way.
But yeah, that game's out right now, and I just haven't gotten it yet. And I'm kind of like, why? Why haven't I done that? I mean, I got other stuff going on, but
goodness,
how come I'm not jumping on that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It got
overwhelmingly positive reviews.
Massively overwhelmed. I mean, just I am so happy for Bloober. I am so happy for them because they keep trying and trying and trying, and they don't fail, but they don't get the recognition I think that they deserve with it. And now they are for doing what they've done with Silent Hill 2, and I'm great for that. Layers of Fear I thought was great, and then Layers of Fear 2, and then the remake, the Blair Witch Project. I was glad that they tried it. I don't know how well it did, but I don't think it did horrible, but it didn't also do fantastic either. Mm. And it just felt like they were trying to, like, we make horror games, and we're going to get into this and make these horror games, and they've finally done it with a remake of Silent Hill 2. I don't know necessarily what that says about them, because it's not original, You know, they didn't develop the story. They didn't develop the character. They didn't, none of this is their own. They just did a remake of it. And they did really, really well with it. So it may not have mattered too much on that. I mean, Silent Hill 2, apparently, I don't remember it, but classic game.
Yeah, it said it was released late September of 2001.
Right.
Yeah, Silent Hill 2.
The original, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember owning it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember until way after the release, like years and years and years after of it being looked upon fondly mm-hmm. as one of the greats in the horror video game genre.
That was just a crazy, that release changed the way I looked at horror games too. Just, I remember mm-hmm. playing that first scene and coming up, like stepping through when that weird, is it like a nurse or something?
Right.
Stands up and
starts to shamble
like
towards
James
you.
Is looking at it like, what yeah. is that? And that's weird too, because I played the first one too before that. And I thought that scared me, like running through the dark of like the streets and the fog and all that. And because it was very different coming from Resident Evil, I was like, oh yeah, another horror game. Like, let's get into this.
Yeah.
But just both those games have their own like mark on me that basically shaped the way I like horror games today. And so I'm going to try and play this over the holidays. And, you know, there's a lot coming out, a lot right now going on. See if I can get to it.
There is, but it does feel like there's a lull after. I don't know of anything coming out in November.
Star Wars Outlaws on Steam.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's going to be my like Thanksgiving purchase. Like I never bought it when it came out, even though I said I was so excited for it, but we were playing these other games.
Right.
But this is going to be the time to get it.
Yeah, that's the thing though. I don't know, and I'm sure there are releases, but I can't think of any that are due out anytime soon between now and the end of the year that we haven't already talked about, I guess. And maybe stuff that are moving over from Steam or EGS to get released. Maybe some DLC due up, but
Indiana Jones and the Great Circle?
That's right. That's December, right?
Yeah, it's Christmas.
Okay.
Early December, sorry.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, it depends, basically, because everything I've seen so far, I'm like, all right, you've got me, but that's going to be more review-centric, because that is a strictly single-player game. Feels like I'm going to get a one-and-done out of it, and I really need to read those reviews to see if that's worth jumping on now or later, you know? When it's at a discount. It's odd, man, because I look at games now and it's, if you're releasing as a single player title, like Spider-Man 2, like the indie game, almost any kind of single player thing, Sonic and Shadow Generations that released, I can wait. I got time. Like if you're a multiplayer type of thing and I want to get in on it, then I need to bite when the, you know, strike when the iron's hot because everybody's playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But these type of games, if they, you know, if they're not great out of the bat, or it's like, yeah, you know, this is really good, but you're going to be done with it after so many whatever. You're going to play through the story and that's it. So,
yeah, I'm looking at our release list schedules for November, and nothing really
stands out, does it?
Nothing really stands out.
So anyway. Yeah. Yeah, that's. There may be more there, and there probably is. And there's probably a lot of indies that are going to be released.
I think the biggest thing there is the one, at least the one most talked about, is Star Wars Outlaws on Steam.
On Steam, yeah,
yeah.
But I don't remember hearing good things about that on its initial release. Heard some good things.
Yeah, it wasn't as. I guess that, you know, it didn't blow people away the way I think, you know, Ubisoft wanted it
wasn't
too, but
wasn't it bad AI?
I have no idea.
Yeah, there was some weird. I saw some weird videos of like, you know, warping and, you know, driving through rocks and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. you know, I don't think it was overwhelmingly buggy. You know, to where it was unplayable.
Yeah,
it was pretty ambitious too, just with the speed racer chases and stuff like that. I'll give you guys a full report.
Definitely you will, because yeah, you absolutely will. The other thing about it I heard was that it just didn't sell the way that they were expecting it to. And that
that's why they—that's why they put it on Steam.
And
too,
I was going to say that could be why they're putting it on Steam.
Yeah,
which is fine by me. I want all my games on Steam. Give them to me all. Alan Wake 2, I'm looking at you.
I picked it up on EGS because there was a sale, so I grabbed it for like $25 on EGS because it was right when it first released. And guess what? Haven't played it at all. right when it first released.
Right to the backlog.
Yeah, it was $25. I went and I bought it. I had a coupon for it, and I picked it up. And yeah, my other problem is that my Ubisoft account is really only good for my Assassin's Creed games. I've got a lot on there. I got a lot of Assassin's Creed games on my Steam account. I would like them to all be in one place. The problem with that is that I'm going to have to pick which place that's going to be. Is it going to be Steam, or is it going to be the Ubisoft launcher?
Like, I think the only time I have to deal with that Ubisoft thing is the Division.
Division, yeah.
Yeah, Division 2. Because it always has something about the Ubisoft Connect or something like that.
I hate it.
And every time I go to it, it's like disabled or says come back later or something along those lines.
I hate it, but I also hate spending money that I don't need to spend as far as, double dipping into games. He right. says, after he mentioned he's played Burnout Paradise on all the different consoles that it's been released on.
Okay, some games you're going to double dip on.
Yeah,
it's inevitable.
The amount.
I've double dipped. Yeah. I've definitely double dipped.
Have you triple dipped yet?
Me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, easily, yeah.
I've quadruple dipped. Like, if you want to go back to like Resident Evil 4, like the original game, I bought that for every console that it got released for. After, you know, it was GameCube, PS2, just a flat PC release with a CD. Then it came on Steam. Then it came with Resident Evil Anthology, and then it came as a PSN download. So, yeah. How many is that?
Well, that's six.
Yeah.
Five or six.
I picked up Burnout Paradise on the 360. Or no. Yeah. The 360 and the PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's when those released. Then I picked it up on PC when it was through EA Origin.
Mm-hmm.
Then they did the remaster. And I got that on Switch, PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 5, or 4, or whatever it was, whenever they did the remaster. So, I mean, yeah, there's exactly.
Yeah.
I've triple-dipped on that specific title itself many, many times.
Yeah.
But not at like a, oh, it just released, you know. It's not like I'm throwing down $50 over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these were on sale for like, hey, it's $8. Sure, let me add that to my collection because I want it on as many systems as I have it, so I can play it whenever on whatever system I want.
Yeah, it's like if you get a collector's edition of something and later on you see it digitally available for a smaller price. So you double dip that way.
Yep,
totally.
Yep,
I'll be doing
same way with like.
I forgot. Red Dead Redemption is this week.
What is this week?
Red Dead Redemption 1 being released on PC is this week.
It is?
Yes. October 31st.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's $50, I think.
Oh, my God. It is.
Yeah. So you just looked.
They didn't port it to the Red Dead 2 engine, did they?
I don't know.
This is just what is this? I've heard zero news on this. Featuring the complete single player experience of both games, including both games being the Undead Nightmare.
Yeah, the Undead Nightmare in the original.
Mm-hmm.
Experience the story as he tracks down, blah, blah, blah. Oh, God, I'm going to have to replay this.
I'm just interested in the return of Cougar Man.
Yeah, I know. Old Cougar Man. Yeah, I am just as interested in that as you are. And apparently, I haven't really read up on much about it, so I don't really know as far as like if there's any previews or reviews as far, you know, how is it type of thing. I haven't seen anything about it. But did it say what it's... It doesn't say about any sort of like what the upgrades for it are or anything, do they? Or are you looking that up?
No, it doesn't say anything about like being remastered or anything. It's just saying here it is.
Hmm.
Huh. Huh. Yeah, I'm curious about that.
That says a lot, isn't it?
That they haven't said anything? I swear I thought it was, though.
It unlocks in 2 days.
It does, yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
I mean, did this get a PS4 or PS5 release? It didn't, did it, right? Like, the only way to play it was on PS3 or Xbox 360?
It might have gotten backwards compatibility with Xbox, I believe, but no.
I'm looking at the screenshots, and I'm like, wow, I don't remember it looking this good. I mean, I know we're talking PC now, but...
Okay, I finally found an article, again, from PC Gamer.
This is on PS4.
Let's see. Okay, it's got a bunch of bells and whistles to make up for the wait. Per Rockstar's announcement, the PC version of Red Dead Redemption is coming with all sorts of enhancements. Native 4K resolution at up to 144 hertz on compatible hardware. Monitor support for ultra-wide and super ultra-wide.
That's me.
Which one, the ultra or the super?
Just ultra.
Okay. God, I think I'll get there at some point. I really want to.
I just upgraded mine, by the way. OLED, HDR, yeah, like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, how do you like it?
I don't want to say it's game-changing, but, like, because I was getting headaches when I first, was using it because of the brightness.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, and then I was reading online, it's like, yeah, I had to adjust the brightness to this, this, and this, and I'm like, oh, and I had to, like, play with it to kind of get it to a level that it wasn't basically burning my retinas, you know, when I was, yeah. Because you see it too, even when you have like Windows open, you know, or web browsers open, like it flips the bits so like precise compared to my old monitor that like you can have just a completely white, you know, sky or a blue sky that will dim almost instantly if you put like something in front of it.
Yeah.
It's really hard to explain, but like Tiny Tina had HDR enabled on it, and I was like, holy crap, like it just looks completely different from a non-HDR.
Yeah, the playthrough. Red Dead is going to have HDR 10 support.
Oh, that game will look really good then with it.
Yeah, it'll have full keyboard and mouse functionality. There's also DLSS 3.7 and FSR 3.0 support as well. So, yeah. Hey, if you get a chance, Steve, just shoot me a instant message in Discord with, like, the model of the monitor that you picked up.
Sure. You're looking for ultra-wide?
I'm not necessarily looking, but I have interest.
Okay. Yeah, it comes with caveats because...
I know.
Like, if you're going to stream anything...
Yeah.
Then that becomes very difficult to kind of set up and get right.
Mm.
But that's the only thing. It takes a lot of time to get that. Unless you just stream ultra wide in a you know, like a regular box, right? Because then it's going to be smushed if you upload it to YouTube or something.
Do you do dual monitors, or are you just running one?
I've got three monitors. I've got okay. Two that are stacked on the right that are for, you know, like Discord and like other videos and stuff, and then I have my gaming monitor.
Okay, I was just curious because right now I have, you know, I have a 27 inch 1440 monitor, and then I've got a 1080p monitor as my second. And if I do the ultra wide, like you were talking about, I could stream. If I'm gonna stream, I would do it on my 27, and then, you know, play whatever on my ultra wide whenever I'm not streaming. I guess I don't know. But I've sort of been, I keep going back and forth. Sometimes I want an ultra wide, and then sometimes I don't. So
yeah, if you're going to be streaming a lot, it's probably not the best monitor to get. But like I was streaming a ton, like you just got to take time to set it up. But right. I was going to go crazy with these ultra wides because I was going to put an ultra wide on top of an ultra wide. And then I was like, I held it up because the monitors are really light.
Yeah,
I held it up and I'm like, this is like a towel. Like I'm going to be looking up. You know, with my neck, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
So I nixed that idea and just kept the same setup that I had.
That's the other situation is like my desk space as far as like how I'm going to maneuver this or how I'm going to set that up. I've got ideas, but I don't have the money to implement those ideas, and that'll take time.
It's cheap. It's cheap. Get a couple of arms. Yeah. Just arms that attach to the back of your desk. And you,
right, but I need to buy the monitors that attach to those arms is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, but
the arms are cheap.
Yeah, see, that sounds like the setup front row at the movie theater.
Oh, no. I've seen some battle stations, man, that look fantastic with the way they have the monitors stacked, tilted, turned, vertical, you know, side by sides, and then stacked on top. Just some really good looking, just a wealth of information on every single one of them. Like your Discord in one, your Reddit in another, your stream screen in another one, your chat room in another, your main gaming thing, just a ton.
So it's the back computer.
You'd make it feel that way. I mean, that's what, as far as I'm concerned, that's what I would go for. You know,
I'll put a couple pictures in the Discord chat.
Teletran
but like,
one,
RJ, I was trying to justify, like, if I had my ultra wide above my ultra wide, what would I use it for? And I'm like, oh, I could watch TV up there, you know, like I could put on like my sports and have that. And then I was like, wait, I don't look up at the monitor that I have today on the right. Like, what am I going to be doing? Like, because when you're looking straight at your monitor, your eye level with it, I'm going to have to look. My neck and my eyes go up, and I'm not looking at my main monitor anymore. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
So, but.
Oh, look at there. He posted a picture.
There she is.
Are you in the Discord? You're not in the Discord? No. Yeah. Whoa, look at that. Wow. Dude. Nice soundproofing in the back there.
Oh, that's not soundproofing. That's just decorative for the LED. I've got LEDs on top that kind of move. So when it passes over those like 3D notches, it just kind of creates like a ripple effect, you know, in the background.
That ultra wide looks so good, man.
It's really nice. I mean, it's definitely, you get like extra perspective too with first person shooters, which is what I play a lot.
Yeah, I dreamed of doing Destiny in ultra wide, but that never came to pass, and now it never will.
I always forget about that.
Yeah, trust me, I don't.
But look at all the time you have for other games now.
It's been wonderful, dude. Would you think I would have gone over all those demos I played for Next Fest if I was still doing? No, my time off last week would have been spent grinding Destiny, of course. So I'm glad it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
But I will still be bitter.
Look, in the long run, it has been beneficial to your gaming that Destiny has been, well, basically taken from you.
Man, you got a nice setup in whatever corner of the house this is. Best dad ever.
I changed my background for every game I'm playing. I got a motion background.
Is that Helldivers? Is that Helldivers you were playing?
Oh, yeah. That was during my Helldivers phase. Yeah.
Oh,
and then
No
Man's Sky below that.
That's fantastic, dude. And I'm sorry for everybody on the radio. We're talking about pictures that we're seeing. He's just going through, like, he's showing me the different setups that is. Wait, every time you change it, do you take a picture?
Because
you've sent like three pictures now, and it's all different every time you send it.
Sometimes, yeah. I haven't taken a picture. I have a Fallout one still on because we were playing Fallout 76. So I got to change it to, I guess, something Borderlands, I guess. I don't know. I might just keep it at Diablo.
What are the sizes of those secondary monitors?
Those are 27s.
27s? That's what I thought. All right. Man, you're looking good, buddy. Looking good.
Thank you. So,
well, anything else you want to hit? Because we're getting close here to where I'm just going to have to wrap things up because we're getting towards the end of the hour and I still got a commercial break to play. So,
no, I got to run anyway. It's bath time and bedtime for the kids, so we got to get that going.
All right, dude. Well, take care. Have a good one.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys. See
you, buddy. You take care. Now. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
See ya. Hey, Chris, you're in there? I see you there. I didn't know if you wanted to talk. We only got a few more minutes before we got I don't know how much time we actually have. How much time do I have?
I was trying to get you to come up.
You're trying to do what?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
I was finally trying to get the controls to come up. The only one I'm playing new is... the YS, or is the way it's pronounced, as Yeez.
Yeez. Yeez.
Yeah, if you've played any of those or any other fans of that whole series that loves those series, it's worthwhile. I've been enjoying it and farming, but yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Never played it. It's, I mean, you probably know, Chris, that's not my genre. Now, I don't know, RJ, if that's something you'd be
interested in. I've heard of it. I mean, yeah. I've heard of it, but it's the JRPG element, Chris.
Not sure, but I believe it is.
If it's a JRPG element, basically wait your turn type gameplay.
Yeah, probably.
I've tried it before, but it never sat well with me playing that way. I mean, if I want to attack someone, I want to attack it right then and there, not wait my turn and go back and forth and things like that. So that style of play, I know it appeals to a lot of folks, but for me, it just didn't cut it with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an adventure role-playing game where you can jump around. And it's somewhat open world and somewhat button masher combo adventure role-playing game.
So it's not turn-based?
No, it's not turn-based. It's all action adventures.
Okay.
No menu. Oh, okay.
It's not live action.
All right, man, as soon as you tell me it's not turn-based, suddenly I'm like, I could probably deal with that. Yeah. But you throw turn-based in there and it's like, nah, I can play something else. Mm-hmm. I've just never been a fan of turn-based.
Yeah, I've given it a shot. I have. A legitimate shot. So I tried it, but it just did not, I think it irritated me more than anything else. Having to sit and wait.
Yeah.
No, I'm busy, Dad.
Oh.
Yeah, before you.
That's okay, Chris. We got to run anyway. We're getting close to the end of the episode here, and... Mm-hmm. We'll just go ahead and take a break. If we can come back, we'll come back because there's more music to play. But here is music from, it's DuckTales Remastered. It's the Transylvania theme. Or, it was always Transylvania. It wasn't Ducksylvania. It was Transylvania. Anyway, we'll be right back. Welcome back into in-game chat. Really quick segment here. This is music from Animal Crossing's New Horizon. It's the Halloween event, which is going on now in Animal Crossing. So go to your island and collect your candy and get ready for the Halloween events on Thursday. So anyway, that's going to wrap it up for us. We really don't have a lot of time here. Just came back to say goodbye and to get all of our music in for the Halloween season. There's a lot of news we missed, and I want to get back to it. So hopefully I'll save some of this to get back into it when we come back. There was a bunch of news, but we didn't get into any of it. There's the mobile Destiny game that they're talking about. There was Spider-Man 2 coming to PC. The Steam Deck not getting yearly refreshes, which is a great thing. So, I mean, there's just a lot more to talk about that we just didn't get to today, but we will next week. So thank you guys so much for joining us. RJ, thank you again for coming in. Everybody have a wonderful, happy, and safe Halloween. And we will see you next Saturday. Music, like I promised, from Silent Hill 2. It is the, it's Pyramid Head. It's his theme. We'll see you next Saturday. Have a good one. Thank you. Bye-bye.